This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
Here on the Budweiser Sports Line, Montgomery, Alabama, I'm Barry McKnight. Again, John Longshore, my co-host, he got married last weekend, so he's off on his honeymoon. So the story goes that I'm soloing the program on this Thursday, knew I would be, and I told Michael, our producer, I said, well, I'd like to get somebody who does some SEC network stuff, maybe somebody who works on a on an SEC school network, maybe somebody who does a statewide radio talk show. Can we get all three of those? And instead of chasing our tail around, we just got the one guy who did it all. Richard Cross joins us here. Really respect his work, good buddy, and a hard-working guy. Richard, you care. We only have about 10 minutes with you, so I can't go over everything that you do, but let's just suffice it to say that you're a pretty busy man these days. Welcome in.
Thank you, Barry. I appreciate it. And I mean, you know this. You're in this business. It is a lot of work, but I'm convinced that it's the greatest job in the world, and it's a lot of fun. And so I'm not sure that I'd have it any other way.
You know, I was telling Michael, our producer, I saw you do a Mississippi State game on television. I couldn't remember if it was Super Regionals or the Regionals, but you were down in Hattiesburg and dodging a lot of rain down there. Can you put into perspective, as you worked that regional and you work, you know, following college baseball and all that kind of stuff, just how difficult it is when you tune in to the College World Series, just how difficult it is for baseball programs to get to that point where they go to Omaha? It's not easy.
No, it's not. And, you know, Southern Miss was the favorite going into that regional. They were a 50-win baseball team. They won 25 games in Conference USA this year in the regular season, and they were in the driver's seat against a Mississippi State team with a depleted pitching staff, and they're in their home ballpark. And Mississippi State's able to kind of find some magic, you know, win a couple of times, dodge raindrops, play until 1 o'clock in the morning. You know, Barry, I live in Oxford and worked with David Kellum on the Ole Miss Radio Network for baseball for about 6 years. And it was in that window when Ole Miss really had it rolling kind of earlier in Mike Bianco's tenure. And they won game one at home in a super regional against Texas and then lost the next two. And it was like, dude, Texas goes on to win the national championship. And you're like, you're so close. And then the following year, they win game one against Miami. And they did the same thing against Virginia. So three different times at home, Ole Miss was up a game to nothing and ended up losing a super regional. And I think that just illustrates, you get so many good teams. Yeah, the parity in college baseball because of the scholarship situations across the board. And the fact that there are just so many good players. And it seems like almost every good team has got a legitimate ace that can shut any lineup in the country down.
With your work, obviously, for the SEC Network, you've done some basketball. You've done a lot of work on there, and that's a burgeoning enterprise there. But you also, on a day-to-day basis, you hash it out with our buddy Matt Wyatt, who hails from Prattville, Alabama, by the way, on head-to-head radio across the state of Mississippi, which is must listen to radio. In your radio show, in your radio conversations with Matt and your listeners, how is Ole Miss's protracted battle with the NCAA, how is that ultimately affecting that football program, Richard?
I think that is, in some ways, Barry, still yet to be determined. But in a very real way, I think it has already had an effect on recruiting. And, you know, the lifeblood of any program, whether you're talking about Ole Miss or Mississippi State, you're talking about Auburn and Alabama, you're talking about Troy, you know, whomever, is, you know, players and players that can come in and can, you know, make plays and put you on a stage to give you a chance to win big games. I mean, Ole Miss didn't beat Alabama twice in 2014 and 2015. Because they were lucky or because they just got a few bounces or because Alabama turned it over five times at Tuscaloosa in 2015, they were on that stage and they were able to compete because they had players that could compete with the players that Alabama had. And so, I mean, you look at the recruiting from a year ago, I think the uncertainty of the future of the program and the uncertainty because of that NCAA cloud hanging over, caused recruiting to take a step back. And you can't afford to do that too many years in a row. And certainly, you know, Ole Miss has already self-imposed some, you know, the bowl end this year and some scholarship reductions. And it makes, you know, the recruiting piece that much more important because your margin for error just gets so small. You know, when you can only have 25 in a recruiting class, you know, if you give up three or four of those scholarships for two or three years in a row, you don't have the ability to miss on guys. Everybody you get has to be a contributor, has to, you know, make their grades, has to stay out of trouble and be a good player. And the reality is that just doesn't happen.
The perception here in the state of Alabama, and I suspect elsewhere, in terms of Ole Miss's initial response to the allegations from the NCAA is Ole Miss is slapping on the armor and they're getting ready and limbering up and they're going to go to battle, so to speak, for Hugh Freeze. They're going to defend him to the hilt, and I salute them for that. I think he's, I've seen him in the Sun Belt Conference. I think he's a very good man, very good football coach, and Richard, for what he's meant recently for Ole Miss football in terms of everything, he's, in my perspective, and I've interviewed Johnny Vaught before, he's as good as they've had for a long time there. Well, what has he meant to Ole Miss football down the last several years?
Well, Barry, you have to tread lightly with where you went there. But I think I get what you're saying, because he's the best football coach at Ole Miss since John Vaught. I mean, he just is. And, you know, there have been bright moments along the way.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think there's any – I mean, Ole Miss went to a Sugar Bowl and won it for the first time in 40 years. That happened 2 years ago. I stood on the sidelines at New Orleans. That was not a figment of my imagination. It actually happened. And the year before that, they played in a New Year's Six game. Now, I would like to think that game against TCU was a figment of my imagination, given the way that it went.
Right.
But, yeah, back-to-back New Year's Six bowl games. And, you know, the thing with Hugh Freeze, and like you, I salute Ole Miss for saying, look, we're gonna battle for this guy. I don't think they would be falling on their sword if they didn't believe they had a case. That Hugh Freeze and the university were able to defend some of the allegations against him, because you know, that would be foolish. I mean, if there was evidence internally to say, okay, the things that Hugh Freeze is accused of, he did, you wouldn't defend him, because there's no end there. I mean, if the proof is clear, then it's like, well, what's the point? But they, I think, from the people that I've talked to, and you know, the stuff that I've read, I think they believe they have a very defendable case with Hugh Freeze, and they've decided, look, this is a guy who's won a ton, who has gotten better every season, last year a bit of an outlier, and we're going to stand behind him because we believe we can defend what he's being accused of.
Richard Cross is with us, head-to-head radio statewide in Mississippi, with our buddy Matt Wyatt, who's also a frequent contributor to this show. It's obviously, it's a distraction to some degree, but Richard, focusing just on the X's and O's for the upcoming season, Ole Miss has a face of the program who is a young guy who's only been on the field for less than half of the football season. We're familiar now with the name Shea Patterson. What else for Ole Miss? Looking ahead to this fall, what's the appraisal of the state of Ole Miss football heading into a relatively challenging Southeastern Conference schedule?
Yeah, I don't know that I would say relatively challenging when the neighborhood you live in is the SEC West. I mean, I think it's as difficult as it comes. And you mix into that a trip to the University of California. They're going to play in Berkeley for a non-conference game. So it's not an easy slate. I would say that, and Barry, let me add to what you said, not just new in Shea Patterson at quarterback after a couple of brilliant years of Chad Kelly, and you know, Patterson started the last three games of the season for Ole Miss, but a new offensive coordinator and a new defensive coordinator. Phil Longo comes in, part of the air raid offense tree from under Mike Leach, back a few years from Sam Houston State, and then Wesley McGriff, who had ties to Ole Miss and coached there previously and was most recently at Auburn, comes in now as a defensive coordinator. And to me, that's the biggest thing. This offense is going to be really good. It's going to be explosive. Mm-hmm. If Shea Patterson stays healthy throughout the course of the year, he will put up big numbers because quarterbacks and Hugh Freeze offenses do that. And most quarterbacks in Hugh Freeze offenses don't have the number of weapons that Shea Patterson's going to have. I mean, he's got two sophomores out there in A.J. Brown and D.K. Metcalf. Mm-hmm. He's got a couple of juniors in Van Jefferson and DeMarcus Lodge. And I would say as a group, Ole Miss has got as good a group of wide receivers as anybody in the SEC, probably the best group of wide receivers in the SEC. But defensively, they didn't stop anybody last year. Right. And that's part of the reason that Dave Womack retires. They bring Wesley McGriff in. They talked about simplifying things and trying to play fast. It's going to be really interesting to see how that pays dividends throughout the course of the year.
They open up two games in Oxford, South Alabama and UT Martin. Then that game Richard alludes to against Cal in Berkeley a week off before Alabama on the road, Auburn on the road, and there we go. A lot of conversation, I know, taking place head-to-head radio across the state of Mississippi, you and Matt. I know you're, of course, getting geared up for the Ole Miss Radio Network, doing the pre- and post-shows and the sidelines and stuff as well. Richard, I'd love to be able to catch up with you at SEC Media Days and get an update and maybe again once more in the summer before the season hits us. Sound okay to you?
Yeah, I look forward to it, Barry. Call anytime.
Thank you very much. Richard.